Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few moments, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. It's going to be about 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, and no manipulation, no games, no gimmicks, no solicitations for money, no asking you to join anything, not trying to hustle up anything, just give you some good, solid, sound, biblical information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you have the courage to orient and adjust to that plan, then that's great. That's why we're here. It is my prayer that God would use this show for you to encourage you, to instruct you, and to cause you to grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May I remind you that I'm not a pastor. It's not my job to be your pastor. It's my job to point you towards an accurate pastor, some man who can accurately teach you God's word on a consistent basis. And thus, I'm always saying, if you need to know where there's a source of truth, if you need to know where there's a man who can teach you the Word of God, and you can access his messages by DVD or MP3, you let me know, and I will point you in the right direction. People that I trust, people that I know are phenomenal Bible teachers, people that have been in the pulpit for years. They're out there, and they have information available, and it's available free of charge, never a charge. If you're looking for something that you can study in the privacy of your own home, you can sit down at the table with a drink, a coffee, or a Coke or something, and open your Bible and get a notebook and grow, then I can tell you where you can get that information. This is exactly what I've been doing 40-plus years of my life. Every morning I get up, I get my coffee, I go down to my office, and I listen to my pastor teacher teach the Word of God over a DVD and try to stay current with him because I don't live in the city where he is. And as I listen, as I take notes, I grow in grace. I am a sheep. He is my shepherd, just like you are a sheep also. I'm not the shepherd. I'm just a guy telling you where the shepherd might be located. So think about that. And by the way, I will be speaking coming up in a week or so, or maybe when you hear this, I've already done it, but in Houston, Texas. And we are making DVDs of that of those messages, and there will be 4-hour-long DVD messages. If you would like to watch that and see that, those messages will be on what we're covering in these radio shows. They will be on evidence testing. And if you would like to access that, you just send me an email. We'll send them to you free of charge. And not only can you hear me, but you could actually see me. And that might be scary, I know. But it's a little more in-depth information if you'd like to access it. Now, we were talking about evidence testing. We've been talking about how before any Christian goes to heaven, that as he accepts Christ as his Savior, he starts off being a baby Christian. And then as he begins to grow, he gets to spiritual self-esteem, where he begins to go through some providential preventative type suffering. And then he goes to spiritual autonomy, where he goes through momentum testing. And then he gets to spiritual maturity. And then before he goes to heaven, he's going to go through evidence testing, just like Job, just like our Lord Jesus Christ. You can experience, God may call you to the witness stand, and you will have to go it alone. That's the name of this study, called Going It Alone. It is taken from the concept of the Lord Jesus Christ walking into the valley of testing as the Holy Spirit led him to be tempted by the devil, to see if he would sin, to see if he would fail, to see if he would get discouraged. Satan attempted to do all of these things. He attempted to buy the allegiance of Christ. He attempted to persuade him to eat by turning a rock into bread. And we told you last week how critical that was under a doctrinal concept called kenosis, that this man, Jesus Christ, was also God. And as the God-man, he's undiminished deity, and he's true humanity, he's in one body forever. Jesus Christ is the only body in heaven today. You and I will get a body like his when we're resurrected from the dead and when we go to spend eternity with him. There are angels in heaven, but no resurrected believers are in heaven in a body yet, not yet. But that's going to happen once Christ returns and the graves are opened and the dead in Christ rise first. And then we which are alive and remain together, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, shall be caught up with them in the clouds, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. We will get a resurrection body. But the body that our Lord had here is the God body and the man body in one body. As man, he never, ever, ever used his deity to protect himself. He never used his deity to feed himself. He did use his deity to feed others. He did use his deity to heal others. But he depended on the Holy Spirit, and he depended on the power of God's Word, just exactly the same way that you and I can live our lives. He didn't do anything that you and I cannot do as a man. He didn't perform any miracle to make himself walk off the cross and fly through the air and go up over the head. No, nothing like that. He could have. I mean, there's a song that says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone for you and me. Have you ever heard that before? See, he could have, but he didn't. He remained in his humanity even till his death. And he allowed God the Holy Spirit to lead him. And he depended on the power of the living Word of God to sustain him. So we are studying his testing, evidence testing of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 4. And I wound up our study last week by saying, just like our Lord, every one of those disciples went through evidence testing also. And the key for us to remember is that each one of us will go it alone at some point in our life. And this is what I found to be very interesting. When that time comes, if the person who goes it alone has tendencies towards legalism, what do I mean by that? I mean, you have a tendency to think that God is impressed with you because you don't drink, or God is impressed with you because you don't smoke, or God is impressed with you because you dress a certain way or act a certain way or speak a certain way. You see, the Pharisees that confronted our Lord Jesus Christ were legalists to the max, and they hated him. Simply because he didn't obey the written rules of man, the rules that superseded the law of Moses, which they had overwritten and overwritten many times. And so when our Lord healed somebody on the Sabbath, or when the disciples fed themselves on the Sabbath, those Pharisees freaked out. Now, if you are like that, if you freak out because someone does something on the Sabbath. I used to have a friend who said he would never go fishing on Sunday. You know, that was his deal, and that's fine. But that doesn't mean you're a great Christian because you don't go fishing on Sunday. That's what I'm talking about, trends toward legalism. If you have a trend like that, then when you go into this evidence testing, in order to get the pressure off of you, you may be tempted to move away from what you know to be truth and look for something else that could make the pressure go away. And I have seen this happen before. I hope I'm making sense. but that legalistic person will lose his objectivity, and he will become subjective and look for something to make it go away, because he will think he caused it. He will think God's doing this to him because of something that he himself did. And that wasn't the case at all. Remember, our Lord Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish. So when he suffered, it wasn't God punishing him. It was God the Father testing him in Matthew 4. Are you ready for this test yourself? You see, if you are legalistic, you'll have a problem with it. And if you are lascivious, if you have a trend towards the naughty, then you may move to fulfill the pleasure of your flesh so that you can dull the pain of your empty life. And you will seek comfort by escaping from the reality of what you're going through. And then I ask you a final question. I said last week, if you fail under evidence testing, can God still use you? And the answer is yes. You can fail and still be used of God, but you will be tested again. Remember Peter denying the Lord 3 times? That was failure. Remember David, even after he had been a magnificent man of God, failing with Bathsheba and murdering her husband Uriah the Hittite? Do you remember Paul going into Jerusalem and taking a Nazarite vow, shaving the head, offering a lamb to be sacrificed even after Jesus Christ had already been sacrificed? There was never another need to offer any more lambs after Christ was sacrificed. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Paul failed in that episode, and it turned into a fiasco when the Jews went crazy and said he had some Gentiles in the temple with him, and they sought to kill him. And God turned all that around. That's an amazing story to read in Acts of Paul's journey and what all happened. But people fail. I have failed. You have failed. And God can still use us. As long as we're breathing, as long as we're alive, God has a plan for our life. Now let's go back to Matthew 4. Here's what Satan told him. Turn these stones to bread if you're really the Son of God. And then Jesus our Lord spoke to Satan, and he said this. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Now, the next time you get hungry and you drive by your favorite restaurant, if you're trying to lose a little weight, you can quote that verse. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Our Lord knew this was a devious, deceptive trick by Satan to get him to step outside of the kenosis prescription, to get him to use his own deity to sustain his humanity by turning a rock to bread. Could he have done it? Yes. Is it a sin to feed yourself when you're hungry? No. But it was not God's plan for Jesus to use his power to sustain his humanity. So he used the faith rest drill. Our Lord used something that you and I can use. We have been over it on this radio show. It's called problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. By the way, if you don't have the book called Christian Problem Solving, why don't you write to me and let me send it to you. It lists all 10 of these problem-solving devices, and you should be aware of them. You should know them. They are your divine protection. They are the flot line in your soul that will stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside sources of stress. Faith rest is an amazing problem-solving device. And our Lord Jesus Christ, when he quoted Deuteronomy 8:3, he was using the faith rest drill. He was standing behind the promises of God. Our Lord passed this first test by being obedient to the leadership of God the Holy Spirit and by recalling biblical information that he learned somewhere prior to this. Now, I have a question for you. The Bible says he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. The question is, how would you know if the Holy Spirit was leading you to do something? How would you know that? I see a lot of people waste a lot of time, energy, and money doing things that don't need to be done, doing it sincerely, thinking God wanted them to do this. So how would you know when God wants you to do something? Well, the first is that he always speaks through his word. Never do anything on an intuition. Never do anything on an impulse. Always from God's word. If God wants you to do something, he will reveal it in the Bible. That's where he speaks. If you're out in the woods at night and you hear the voice of God speaking to you, go to a doctor. That's right. You're having trouble. That's not how God operates. He speaks through the Bible. It is called the Word of God. This is how he speaks. I remember after I became a Christian, we were reading the Bible one day, several of us, and the verses that fell upon me were these verses. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. And all of my friends just paused and looked at me and asked me, do you realize what you just read? And of course I did. I was asking people to pray for me because I was going to represent the gospel. I didn't understand at the time that I had the gift of evangelism. I didn't understand at the time where God would put me in the ministry. But I understood God had a plan and a call on my life. So how do you know if the Holy Spirit is leading you? Well, he can't lead you anywhere if he's quenched and grieved in your life. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we have the present active imperative, which is a mood of command in the Greek New Testament of the Greek verb sombinomi, and it means do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. And then we have, and it means to shut him off, by the way. In Ephesians 4:30, we have another Greek word, and it also, in the morphology of that verb, is another present active imperative. This means the present tense is there never is a time when you're supposed to do this. The active voice means you produce the action of the verb. The imperative mood is the mood of command. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. Lupeo is the Greek word there. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Spirit of God? When you sin. When you sin, when you disobey God's word, you grieve the Holy Spirit, and you quench his ability to instruct you, lead you, empower you. You're no longer filled with the Holy Spirit when you sin. When you sin, you're letting your old sin nature take over. Let's go back and remember that. You have an old sin nature. And your old sin nature is always there. It will be there until you die. And the Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit wars against the flesh. These two are contrary one to the other. At any one moment in your life, you're either filled with the Holy Spirit or you're controlled by your flesh, your sin nature, being that you would be called carnal or fleshly. What's the difference? When you have unconfessed sin in your life, you're carnal. When you name your sin to God, when you commit it, you are rebounding problem-solving device number one, and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you are to be filled with the Holy Spirit as long, as frequent, and as often as possible. You're not to walk through the devil's whirl in the energy of the flesh. You're not going to make it. So you have been given the Holy Spirit. You have been given a spiritual gift. He can empower you, guide you, lead you, direct you, protect you, but not if he's quenched and not if he's grieved. How would you know if Satan were leading you to do something? How could you know that? Well, first of all, Satan is very smart. We know from reading in the book of Genesis that he was the most cunning creature God created. We know that he was in heaven, and he was a guardian of the throne room of God. We know all about his fall. So we know how beautiful he was, how smart he was, and how arrogant he was. And so the first thing that Satan would, you would know that Satan was tempted you, is if he tried to get you to do something like he did with the Lord Jesus Christ that would not be true to God's plan. In other words, he may want you to compromise. This is what arrogance normally does. Arrogance normally compromises, and Satan uses arrogance a lot in our life. See, an arrogant person will justify why it's okay to do something. And that's exactly what Eve did in the garden when Satan deceptively said, you know, it's not fair of God to say you could eat anything but that one tree. And there's a reason he doesn't want you to eat from that one tree, because he doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. And so in her arrogance, he appealed to her arrogance. And she then justified why it was okay to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is what he will do with you. He will tempt you to justify why it's okay to sin. He will tempt you to ignore divine precedence in your life. He will tempt you to satisfy immediate urges that you have. He will tempt you to believe the lie that he may give you. He will tempt you to justify yourself. He will tempt you to seek revenge. And in fact, if you follow these temptations, you will find yourself outside of the plan of God, looking in at others as they fulfill the plan of God and have a wonderful life. And you will be under divine discipline. You will be miserable from your own bad decisions. And you may blame everyone else but yourself. So no matter how far you advance in the Christian life, you must never lose sight of grace orientation. You must never lose sight of humility. Remember, God does not need you. God was in business way before you got here, and he will be in business long after you're gone. So it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about the niche that we carve out for ourselves. There is vulnerability when you advance in the plan of God. There is vulnerability when you get comfortable in life. And the more you advance, the more comfort you enjoy, the greater the opportunity to fail. Because we take our eyes off the Lord and we put our eyes on ourselves. It happens all the time. All the time. So here's some principles for you. Satan knows the scripture, and he knows how to distort the scripture. That's the first principle. He will use the Bible to confuse you, because he quoted scripture to our Lord in the second temptation. Also, just because some preacher said it, it doesn't mean that it is true. For example, in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, Paul identified these sort of preachers and said, "For such are false apostles." Those are the people that were critical of Paul. "They are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Yes, you may be thinking you're dealing with an angel, and you're actually dealing with Satan. The strategy of Satan towards you is found in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, where Paul wrote, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your own minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." See, this is exactly why you have been warned not to shop around in different churches, not to pastor shop, but to find your shepherd and stick with that man who can teach you God's word. And so many people aren't like this. They want to get a lot of pastors and listen to, it's almost they think it makes them more of a great Christian if they listen to 15 or 20 different people. You're just going to get confused. You know something? You might not know this or recognize this, but there's a big difference in churches. I travel a lot and I see a lot, and I'm warning you, be careful or you're going to get sucked into doing something and become convinced that it's God's will for your life. You hear me? I have seen it happen. They're convinced, oh, this is what God wants me to do. And off they go. In Matthew 4, 9, Satan tells Jesus, "If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world and all of their glory." And our Lord simply said, "It's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." He quoted Deuteronomy 6:13. And so, critical that we understand this before we close out today. With the Word of God in your soul, you can defeat Satan. But without that, you're powerless. The Holy Spirit is the engine, but the Word of God is the fuel he uses to power the engine. That's why it's important that you recall Scripture. It's important that Scripture be taught to you again and again, repetition. So if Satan attacks you with Scripture, then it will be Scripture that you have shown no interest in. He will take something you've ignored and use it against you if you're not careful. There's a lot more to say about this. And as I said, if you want to get the 4 hours on DVD, let me know. We'll ship it to you. Hope you'll come back next week. We'll continue this study on evidence testing and going it alone. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.